Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Caroline Fenton is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how are we doing?
Elijah Campbell in for Ian today. Hello, Elijah.
Hello, guys.
Elijah, you got big shoes to fill. You got Ian's shoes to fill and Max's shoes to fill. And I thought Max, albeit a little cynical at times, which, you know, how can I be mad at someone for being cynical?
Oh, that's the pot on the kettle.
You know, other than that, I thought Max did a great job too, so glad to have Elijah with us today. So, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I'm going to start with a hot take, if I may.
Please, the floor is yours.
Okay. If you're looking at the stream right now, I'm wearing a green shirt on the air, and I should be wearing black.
It's Black Shirt Friday.
That's one of the reasons why I should be wearing black. Do you know another reason why I should be wearing black?
Because it's the funeral of college football.
It is the funeral of two things. We got two funerals to plan.
Okay.
Marshall Donnelly Combs over here. We got two to plan. One, it's the end of college football. The SEC takes Texas and Oklahoma, and it's only the beginning. It's not the end. And two, the Big 12, we need to have a funeral for them as well. Because the vultures are a-coming. And I said to you, if I had said last week on Fireball Hot Take Friday that my hot take was, you know, I think Texas is going to be in the SEC this time next week, you'd have said I was crazy. So life comes at you fast. And I was talking to somebody today, and this had to do with maybe Nashville getting a baseball team. And I said this. I know this. If it happens, it's going to happen fast. Like, that's how these things work. I watched the whole MLS thing happen fast. It happens fast. The first movers of conference realignment in 2010, Nebraska and Colorado, from the Big 12 to the Big 10 to the Pac-12, boom, boom, it happened fast. It started everything. This happened fast. So I want to start with the acknowledgement that this is over for the Big 12, that now we are literally down to the ninth inning. And Texas and Oklahoma are going to send letters to the Big 12 on Monday announcing their withdrawal from the conference. Kirk Bowles of the Austin American Statesman, who is a longtime Texas beat writer, says that it'll be done next week to the SEC and that the vote will be 13-1, and the one will obviously be Texas A&M. And so much for the unwritten rule that they wouldn't allow Texas in because they're going to. So you've got your first 16-team league. So here's what's going to happen. The Big 12 is going to think of a way that they can add schools to the conference like Houston or SMU or even Memphis in order to maybe save their conference. But we all know how this goes because we already saw it with the Big East a handful of years ago, which is there's going to be somebody that's the last guy standing and it's going to be them. So I think you're going to see four teams head over to the Pac-12. I think you're going to see four teams head over to the Big Ten. And whoever's left, sorry, Texas Tech, that's it. You're going to be the next AAC, which is what the Big East once was. You're the next Connecticut. You were in a Power 5 conference. Now you're not. So the Big 12's done. Kansas is already talking to the Big Ten, as we predicted on this show yesterday they would do. Kansas is already talking to the Big Ten. I think both the Dallas schools, TCU and Baylor, one's going to the Big Ten, the other goes to the Pac-12, and it's over. Now's the second thing, the more important thing, and that's college football. And I'm not a huge tradition guy. I am not a... Well, I wake up every Saturday at 8 a.m. and I make my pot of coffee the exact same and I watch my Bulldogs the exact way, and I'm not that kind of guy. But I also, just like I'm doing with conference realignment, I'm kind of looking at the past for examples that will tell me about the future. I used to be the biggest college basketball fan, maybe in Nashville. That's probably a joke, but maybe an overstatement, but I was a huge college basketball fan. I remember I played basketball in high school. We played a game on a Friday night, and on Saturday, I woke up first thing, and I watched College Game Day, and I watched all the basketball games that day, and it ended with that Memphis-Tennessee showdown, Bruce Pearl beating number one Calipari in Memphis, and I watched basketball all day, and I loved it. And I think I have kind of lost over the years my love of college basketball. Some of it is being burnt out on it, having worked in it and then been in Louisville on the radio where all they care about is college basketball. But I think another thing, as far as the popularity of college basketball is concerned, is that it kind of feels like college basketball's been going on the downward trend for the last handful of years. For example, I think the thing that really has started this with college basketball is the one and done. Now, that's not college basketball's rule. It's the NBA's rule. But the one and done all of a sudden turned every power school into how can we get the best prospects here for 1 year? And it worked for Duke to win a title in 2014, and it worked in 2012 for Kentucky to win a title. But in all seriousness, like, it kind of feels like it's lacking. It's hurt college basketball that when we watch Duke play with Zion Williamson, that we don't get to build up kind of these players over the years. It's hurt college basketball. Now, Gonzaga and Baylor, teams that build their squads up, now they're the best schools, and that's not really all that interesting. The second thing is, it became too commercial in college basketball. The kids were too popular. We knew they were getting paid under the table. The FBI investigation kind of showed that to all of us. But it just kind of felt like there wasn't really like a love of the game anymore in college basketball. And while I can't pinpoint one reason or another reason or a statistic here or a statistic there, I just kind of feel like over the last decade, college basketball is not the same anymore. It doesn't feel the same to me. It doesn't feel popular like it used to be. Now, everybody has their team, and they'll watch their team. I watch U of L when they're on. I'm sure you watch your cheating coach at LSU when they're on.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
I mean, it's people watch their team. But how often, Caroline, do you find yourself just jumping to the television to watch a regular season college basketball game that doesn't involve your team?
If it's not in the SEC, then not really ever.
So Duke versus Virginia.
A Duke-UNC game, yeah, for sure.
I mean, but still, go out of your way to watch it? Or just kind of turn it on when it's on?
I'm not going to throw a watch party, but I'll for sure tune in and I'll keep up with the buzz on Twitter, but I'm not going to rearrange my plans.
So college basketball has really been hurt over the last handful of years because the game's just not the same anymore. We're letting 68 teams in now. It's not the same. College football, as we know it, is dead. It is dead. We're going to have four 16-team conferences. We're going to have a 12-team playoff. We're going to have the players getting paid through name, image, and likeness. And it won't die overnight, just like college basketball didn't die overnight. But once the one-and-done became a thing, and every college out there was going after Greg Oden and Kevin Durant and Kevin Love and you name it, a part of that sport died. Add in the fact that the players are getting paid and it's all about the Nike and Adidas and AAU and you have college basketball. And college football is headed on the same trajectory. Now, you may be a diehard Tennessee Volunteers fan or a diehard Alabama Crimson Tide fan, and you'll watch Alabama every week, but it kind of feels to me like the idea of what we used to watch as college football is over. There will be a different sport out there, and I'm sure we'll still tune in. But one of the things about college football, especially in the era of the BCS, was you could look at a game that maybe didn't even affect you as far as your team or your conference was concerned, but it still had major implications. A Penn State-Ohio State game on a Saturday night not only had implications because if Penn State knocks off Ohio State, then Ohio State is out of the national championship picture, so they got to watch that. But also, if Ohio State's out of the national championship picture, then that means that perhaps Auburn or Georgia or someone else could backdoor their way in. So it just meant more. It was a regular season game that meant more than just Ohio State and Penn State. But now with a 12-team playoff, you're going to have three loss, maybe even with these super conferences, a four-loss team get into the college football playoff. That's what you're going to see with these players getting paid through name, image, and likeness. You're going to see who can get me the most money. It's not an accident, people, that Nick Saban went to, Texas this week and told people, yeah, our quarterback's getting $1 million. By the way, he did it the day before SEC Media Days. Why? Because he didn't want to get up there and spend all Media Days talking about his kid making $1 million, but he wanted everybody to know it. And do you think it's an accident, in hindsight, looking at it, that Saban told the Texas High School Coaches Association this? I don't, because I think he knew, I better start ramping up the recruiting efforts down in Texas. Not that Texas hasn't always been important to Saban, it has been, and it's important to every football coach, but I'd say Texas got a little bit more important to Nick Saban this week. My guess is A&M got blindsided, Saban didn't. But the college football that you know and love, it's over. It is over. There is now free agency essentially for the players with the transfer portal, and now it's free agency for the conferences. What player is going to sign with what team? It's almost like the quarterback carousel last year when Cam Newton signed with the Patriots, and all of a sudden, he's starting there. Tom Brady signed with the Buccaneers. Now another team needs a starting quarterback. Phillip Rivers signs with Indianapolis. Chargers draft a quarterback. Sorry, Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton. There's no more seats left at the table. And that same conversation will be had perhaps with Iowa State or with Kansas State or with Texas Tech or with whomever. College football is going to exist, but it's going to be a hybrid of kind of a minor league sport. You're going to love your team and you'll still watch your team, and it will feel more like the NFL on a Saturday without the popularity and fairness of the NFL. But the college football that you know, it's dead. It's over. Goodbye. 16 team conferences. Those out-of-conference games, see ya. They already don't care about playing in bowl games anymore. You think they're going to care about this? This is it for college football, folks. At least the college football that we know. They'll still play the games. Just like in basketball now, we still see North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke. They still play basketball. But just like Caroline said, she's not jumping to the television to go watch UNC play Duke. 15 years ago, everybody was. And that's a big difference. Welcome to the new era of college football. They'll make more money, but it won't be the same. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. That's my Fireball hot take that we are starting off with on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, is I believe that college football is dead today. And it's not just Texas and Oklahoma going, but it's Texas and Oklahoma going. It's the end of the Big 12 as we know it. There had always been talk about four super conferences. Now we're there because that's where we're headed. There's that. The players are getting paid. The bowl games don't matter anymore. 12-team playoff, which, by the way, is it surprising that Sankey was the one pushing a 12-team playoff now that we know what we know?
It's pretty interesting.
Okay. It's dead. Now, those guys are going to get rich. Good for them. But what you know, it's over. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get Caroline's reaction to this. We'll get your reaction to this. And I'll say this. Willie Donick had been crying a lot today on the Midday Show about Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. And I feel his pain. I do. I agree with Willie. Not because I don't want to see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC, which as a fan, I do not, but more so because in the spirit of college football, there is no way it can be the same. 615-737-1025. We are live from the Whole Song Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
It used to be the Big Eight. It used to be the Southwest Conference. There was something called the WAC Conference for the younger listeners. Have no idea what that is. And I think it was, I think that was cool. That's what made college football cool, is it was regional. Everything was, you know, your neighbors and everything close proximity. Obviously, cable television changed all that. Now it's a national sport. And, you know, look, it's great to have OU and Texas in the SEC, and just look at the potential conference schedule in that league in the next few years, and it's, you're going to watch every game, and that's great. But I think ultimately it's going to hurt college athletics as a whole.
There you go. That was Brett McMurphy this afternoon on Darren Donick and Chase. Brett McMurphy, now with Stadium, longtime ESPN college football reporter. Caroline Fenton, today with the addition of super conferences, because now we got one conference with 16. The Big Ten's going that way. The Pac-12's going that way. It's going to be the Pac-16. And I think that the ACC's probably going to add some teams. I think it's going to be a cherry pick over here, the Big 12 and the AAC. As I told you, if I'm Connecticut, I am on the phone. It's too bad that their men's basketball program has sunk as much as it has. But again, with super conferences, with name, image, and likeness, so the players are getting paid, with 12 teams in the college football playoff, there is going to be a different sport. College football, as you know it, as I know it, I believe is dead. And it's not coming back. Your thoughts?
Well, college football, and I would say slowly but surely, but it is not slow, quickly, in the past couple of months, has transformed into the NFL. NIL, they're getting paid. So the transfer portal essentially is free agency, the 12-team playoff, an expanded playoff, and now four 16-team conferences is kind of what it's looking like. College football essentially is the NFL.
The problem is that college football is not as popular as the NFL.
And that's another thing.
And the other thing the NFL has is the NFL is a socialist government. I mean, I hear people talk about socialism all the time now, which is funny because a lot of people that talk about it don't even know what it actually means. But the NFL is legitimately a socialist government. The best team gets the worst schedule. The worst team gets the best pick. Mm-hmm. Everybody in that league is designed to be 8-8. There's a salary cap, so everybody can spend the same amount of money. It is literally socialism in the NFL. You can't do that in college football. I heard Nick Saban say the other day, you know, that the thing about college football is that, you know, it's supposed to be fair because everybody has the same amount of scholarships. Nick, you know,
it's not fair.
College football is not fair. So the college football is trying to be the NFL. I think what college football is about to become is the NBA. And this is why I think it. Because the NBA is kind of similar to college football, where you can argue that everything's supposed to be fair because they have a salary cap. But have you ever understood how the NBA salary cap works? Do you know what the mid-level exception is? Do you know what bird rights are? I don't. So the NBA is basically a giant league that is a cash cow. Mm-hmm. And yet, how many teams can really win the title every year? Three, four?
Well, this year proved differently, but this year was such an outlier.
Well, Milwaukee was always on the list, though, of teams that could win a championship. You know, like, 2 years ago, they were in the conference final or whatever, and they were like, you know, yes, but the super team, that's basketball. That's what, this year we got lucky. We actually had teams that built their stars. But that's basketball. That's the NBA. That's what college football is going to be about. Because people who like their team in the NBA watch their team. So if you like the Atlanta Hawks, you're going to watch the Atlanta Hawks. I didn't watch an Atlanta Hawk regular season game all year. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I flip on the NBA playoffs, just tune it in, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember him when he was at Duke. You know, that kind of thing. And that's what's going to happen with this. People are going to watch their team. If you are a Texas A&M fan, you will watch A&M, and you'll probably watch the SEC. But as far as this big-time Pac-12 game, you're not watching it. You
Why
will
not?
Because it won't affect you. It will have no effect on your life.
Well,
just
when,
like
when
a
did
White
the
Pac-12 Sox,
have any effect on Texas A&M fans in the past?
Texas A&M fans root for their conference in the SEC. Mm-hmm. The Pac-12, a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, where Oregon played Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. And because Utah smoked Oregon, they were out. And I forgot who was the fourth team that got in. But mm-hmm. that fourth team, which there's normally an SEC team that's knocking on the door at fourth, fifth, or something like that.
Right.
That team got in because of that Pac-12 championship game. Now it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter to an SEC fan unless it's like, well, I hope we play Washington instead of having to play Oregon. And it doesn't matter. Does not matter anymore.
With the 12-team expanded playoff.
Oh, it's all bad. It's all bad. Now, the name, image, and likeness I'm okay with because at the end of the day, like, you know, the kids should probably get paid a little bit.
And they already
are. But the transfer portal, that's bad for college football. I mean, this is all bad for college football. And as I said, I think it's dead. I think it is dead. So, like, you'll watch LSU and you'll care about things that affect LSU, mm-hmm. and that CBS game of the week that's going to go to ESPN, that 3:30 time slot, the best game of the SEC, you'll watch. But, I mean, I forget who it was. I want to say it was RG3 and Baylor. This was 2012. Alabama had lost to Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M, and so they needed help to get into the national championship game. Now, Alabama was by far the best team that year. And I remember watching USC play Notre Dame and watching Notre Dame win to go to 12-0, knowing they were going to get in the national championship game, knowing they were going to get slaughtered by Alabama. But there was Baylor. It was either Baylor was in the way or Baylor beat somebody who was in the way. It might have been Baylor beat somebody who was.
Was this last year?
No, this was 2012.
Okay.
So this was back when there was two teams. And Notre Dame's in, and Alabama's on the outside looking in. And I want to say Baylor beat somebody. And Baylor beat them. RG3 and Baylor beat them. Alabama got in and won the national title. As a fan of the SEC, I had to watch those games. Because I think the joke was that Alabama can thank Baylor's quarterback, Kansas State's kicker, and Terrell Pryor's tattoo artist. Like, that was the joke. Because Ohio State was 12-0 that year, but they couldn't play in the playoff.
Right.
So, again, that's dead. That is absolutely dead. And the higher-ups of college football don't care because they're lining their pockets with money. But guess what? You want to know what sport in America makes an unbelievable amount of money in a normal year and nobody talks about it?
What?
Baseball. Major League Baseball makes close to what the NFL makes. I believe in like 2019, the NFL was a $9 billion a year business. Mm-hmm. Baseball was $8 billion. Baseball makes an exorbitant amount of money. Think about all of the television revenue, radio revenue, ticket revenue you get when you play 162 games a year. There is no structure of what the owners make. They have to give to the players, like is the case in salary cap sports. There is no salary floor in baseball. Baseball has revenue sharing, so a team like the Marlins that doesn't draw any fans, they get money from the Yankees. Baseball makes a ton of freaking money. Their TV contracts are insane. Their local TV contracts are insane. And guess what? Baseball's dead, folks. Major League Baseball. Now, if you have a team and you like it, you'll watch it. But the days of people caring about it, like when I were a kid and you had Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa and Roger Clemens and Randy Johnson and Chipper Jones and Edgar Martinez and Craig Biggio, those days are dead. That baby is done. And they're trying like heck to get people back interested in baseball. But that's where college football's headed. And I watch baseball every night. I watch my team. You watch your team?
Yeah.
You watch the White Sox play the Orioles on a Thursday night on MLB Network?
No, I did not.
Okay. That's where college football's headed. So, you know, they'll say it's not dead because they're making a lot of money. But I think the NBA is making a lot of money. I think Major League Baseball is making a lot of money. And I look at those sports and I'm like, going right down. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your reaction. It is your day on Fireball Hot Take Friday. How do you feel about college football now? 12-team playoffs, super teams, gonna rule just like basketball. power conferences, 4 16-team conferences. By the way, I will say this. How's it feel to be Tulane today? You play in the AAC. You were originally in the Metro, which became Conference USA, after you left the SEC. I think it probably feels bad to be Tulane today. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is going to be like the Bing Bang. It is so big for this reason, Ryan. Not only is it big if it happens for the SEC, but it affects every other conference. You know, where is the Big 12 without its two bell cows? I know what you just said from Oklahoma State, but they're not going to hold up. The Big 12 by themselves, or with Texas Tech, or anyone else other than the two we're talking about. It affects the ACC. It affects the Big Ten, because what it means is expansion is back on the table. And 10 years ago, it was like the California gold rush when Texas originally started talking to the Pac-12 and was going to take a couple of schools with that. As a result, you saw expansion in every league. So if the SEC goes to 16, the Big Ten's not going to sit there at 14. The ACC is not going to do that, nor is the Pac-10. So we are. We thought June was the wildest month in recent college sports history with NIL. Get ready. This is going to be crazier.
There you go. Feinbaum's not wrong. I'm literally writing down every conference team from the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the ACC, and then below it, kind of the Big 12. And I'm saying, okay, where are all these Big 12 teams going to go? I think this is an exercise we should do later in the show. But I do promise your phones, because it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Fenton, what do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in the text line and says, the NIL was the nail and the new SEC is the hammer. Goodbye, traditional college football.
Do you think NIL is what's driving the end of college football? I think NIL is the smallest part. Again, there's four things to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's transfer portal.
Yes.
Super conferences, 12-team playoff, NIL. All four are ruining the fundamentals, you know, are ending, are killing what will be ultimately the end of college football as we know it. All four of them play a role. I think the NIL is fourth by a long shot. They're like the Vanderbilt of reasons for why college football is going to die, because of everything that's happened in the last handful of years.
Yeah, NIL to me, I understand that it's a huge shakeup in college sports that has traditionally been something that college athletes never had, was getting paid, was getting to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. So I understand that that's a big change. But to me, it didn't feel like the end of college football. I really kind of believe that while we're watching games, NIL won't even be a thought in our minds. You know, we may see Bo Nix posing with iced tea on, or sweet tea on our Instagram feeds, but I don't think that's going to change the way that you view the game, the way that you watch the game. That's not going to change how the game is played. The new SEC, however, changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
NIL, to me, I understand it's a big change, but I don't think that is the end of college football.
So I think it's kind of like if Pete Rose were to get into the Hall of Fame in baseball. Everybody, yes, that's
a
like
long-standing thing that nobody ever thought was like, going to happen.
It's like everybody's talked about it for years, right? Like, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? I'll hang up and listen. You know, like that's been like a sports radio topic for 30 years. But if Pete Rose got in the Hall of Fame, it'd be like a, wow, Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame? Crazy. And then everybody would move on, and it wouldn't affect you one iota.
And
so,
I think two people would be really upset about it. And then everyone else would be like, whoa, okay,
yeah, I mean,
cool.
Like, yes.
He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
It would be like if Notre Dame went into a conference. If Notre Dame went into a conference, like, that would be like a, Notre Dame went into a conference, and then 5 minutes later, we'd move on with our lives. That's how name, image, and likeness is. Like, yeah, the players are going to get paid, and it won't be the same anymore because the players are getting paid, but... like, they've been arguing about this for 40 years. So, to me, that's, again, these super conferences have knocked out, like, literally two major players to the college football scene. The Big East, gone. People forget, the Big East used to have Miami, it used to have Virginia Tech, it used to have Boston College, it used to have West Virginia,
Syracuse.
It used to have Louisville, it used to have Syracuse and Pittsburgh.
UConn.
Like, the Big East had some real schools. Yeah, debatable about UConn. being
but
a real
school.
But they
were
there. I mean, they're definitely not a real school now because they were the ones that got left behind in the last realignment.
Go Huskies.
So, like, the Big East had some schools. So you had, at that point, you had six power conferences. Well, now you have five. The Big 12's dead, folks. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to argue that. I think whether or not, you know, you'll give in to that college football is dead is another thing. But the Big 12, gonzo. What else we got?
One texter texts in and says, so the Big 12 is gone. Where do the remaining teams go? KU to the Big 10, possibly?
So I think this is an exercise we should do at some point. Not right now, because I think we should do this exercise, though, which is I've got in front of me, I've got in front of me every Power 5 school in the SEC, the Big 10, the Pac-12, and the ACC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm thinking to myself, what do you do, for example, boy, I tell you, if I was in one of those conferences, I would feel so good about myself. Like if
like
I
in
was,
a safe conference?
If I was Purdue.
Oh.
Like, I would feel so good. Like, here are the schools
Rutgers.
That should feel good about themselves. Vanderbilt should feel good about themselves in all of this. Both Mississippi schools should feel good about themselves in all of this. Like, schools that don't really carry their weight. Like, they're there because they've always been there.
I think Ole Miss carries their weight.
Elijah, do you think that Mississippi and Mississippi State, like, that we could do the SEC without them?
Ooh, see, the tradition behind those two, specifically Ole Miss, is going to be hard to go without for the SEC. Now, financially, yeah, probably, especially if you throw in Oklahoma and Texas. Texas alone brings in so much money, but Ole Miss
and
Mississippi
State. Yeah,
like
we could do without South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Well, South Carolina is
a
new player as well.
Sure.
Take them to the ACC. That makes more sense.
Mississippi State, I think the SEC could do without. Ole Miss, I think, is a blue blood in the SEC.
Okay, in the Big 12. Ohio State carries their weight. Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa. Okay, Purdue should feel lucky that they're there.
Minnesota.
I'm on the fence with Minnesota.
I think Minnesota's newfound success, I think they carry their weight, yes.
Illinois and Indiana are lucky to be there.
Yes.
And obviously Rutgers.
Indiana, however, would have been in the 12-team college football playoff last season.
Rutgers is lucky to be there. For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pac-12. Oregon, USC, Arizona State, Arizona, Colorado, Utah, UCLA. Washington State's the only team. Well, maybe Cal. Washington State and Cal are the two schools in the Pac-12 that are probably lucky that they're already there. Though I'm sure Cal would have been fine, but Washington State. We can totally do without Washington State.
I don't know. I could do without Washington.
Have you ever been to Washington State?
No.
It's
have
the
you?
Worst. Oh, yeah. It's really? The worst. We stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
I just love Gardner Minshew.
It was the best. It was the best bed the entire 2011-2012 University of Louisville women's basketball season. The Holiday Inn Express in Pullman, Washington. It was the best bed I've ever slept in.
Really?
Now, outside of that, Pullman is a dump. To fly into Spokane, drive like 2 hours to Pullman.
Well, it's not like Tuscaloosa is some paradise.
No, but that's like a college town. Washington State just sucks. I mean, it is just trash. So we can do without them. Boston College, we can do without.
Yeah.
Syracuse. No, Syracuse is fine. Syracuse is a power five school in every other sport other than football. They're a power five sport. Wake Forest, we can do without.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech, we can do without.
Yeah. Nerds.
I think UVA and Virginia Tech pull their weight.
Virginia Tech, for sure. Virginia's questionable.
I mean, Virginia, they have an okay football program, and they've won a national title recently in basketball. Like, and they kind of play in, like, in the new ACC, you know, which is primarily, in my opinion, the new ACC is a basketball conference. Like, we don't need Miami. Like, the new ACC is, and I know Clemson's good at football, but it's a basketball conference. Like, we all know that Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, Louisville, those are traditional basketball schools.
Mm-hmm.
NC State's got some decent basketball history to it. But I think that Virginia and Florida State, more so Virginia than Florida State, but in this new ACC, they kind of represent like legitimate basketball threats that add mm-hmm. to the best basketball conference in America. But then again, basketball moves almost no needles. So I'm not even sure. All of this talk's all about football anyways. But I don't even know why we're talking about basketball.
But if we do want to talk about other sports, the new SEC with Texas and Oklahoma, baseball is going to be nuts.
Yeah, but nobody cares. Who cares?
I care.
But who else cares? Like
baseball fans?
There's not a single discussion.
You want to tell me that nobody in the city of Nashville who is a Vanderbilt baseball fan doesn't care?
Nope. So I think, like, when they have these discussions, when Sankey's talking to Texas and Oklahoma, I don't think the word baseball comes up.
No, that's not the driving factor. But if it's going to happen, you already know that I hate this. So let me have my silver lining. That I'm very excited to see Florida-Texas baseball every year.
Well, you haven't heard a word from me about women's basketball in this, so I'm going to have to veto the college baseball in relation to the SEC. I'm going to have to veto that. I'm going to have to veto it because it doesn't matter as far as conference realignment is concerned. That could
be
baseball.
Well, I know that's not a driving factor. Let me have my thing.
They put West Virginia in the Big 12. You think they're worried about volleyball travel?
A texter texts into the text line and says, I care.
Okay.
So that makes two of us.
Okay.
Nobody said anything about women's basketball yet, although I do love women's basketball. I'll give you that.
Caroline taking cracks at women's basketball. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Here's my question. Do any fans, like, are fans happy about this? I know how the rich guys feel. What about the fans? Next, Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, I can tell you that the focus is on this meeting this afternoon, and I spoke to people in the Big 12 who are in this Zoom meeting who didn't know what to expect from their own conference going into it and were sort of blindsided by this and had a completely different take on Monday. But I can also tell you that decision makers throughout sports from coast to coast are planning on this happening because they have to. Because if it does, if Texas and Oklahoma leave, there's going to be a mad scramble for other conferences to pick up the rest of those pieces, and everybody's going to be a survival of the fittest type scenario where just realignment happens and that's the first domino to fall.
There you go. Heather Dinich, ESPN, and we will do this at 3 o'clock. At the next segment, this is what I want to do. We'll take each of the Power Five conferences. We will take those and then we will divide up where everybody from the Big 12 goes. And we'll throw Notre Dame in there, and we'll discuss if Notre Dame ends up joining a super conference here. And we'll throw in other schools that maybe have a chance, like Connecticut, Cincinnati, you know, those kind of schools. But it is your day, since it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Caroline Fenton on the text line. What do we have?
One texter texts in and says, it was enough having to accept Missouri and Texas A&M. It took time getting used to. Leave the SEC as it is. We are full. Make your conference better. No Texas and definitely no Oklahoma.
So here's another thing that I was thinking about. Do Texas fans, like, do they, I mean, not Texas fans, SEC fans, do they want Texas and Oklahoma in this conference? Because I know why Greg Sankey wants them in. I know why the money guys, like, I know why the rich people want them in there, just like I know why rich people want corporate tax cuts. But do the actual fans of this league, Florida fans, Missouri fans, Georgia fans, Kentucky fans, Tennessee fans, Mississippi State fans, LSU fans, do they want Texas and Oklahoma in there? I know A&M fans don't, but, like, does the rest of this conference, do they want these teams in there?
I mean, the overwhelming sentiment that I have heard verbally from SEC fans and also from just like the conversation on Twitter, we heard Willie talking about it, overwhelmingly, no, they do not want this to happen. I think that a lot of people feel like how this texter feels. It's full. Texas gets enough. Texas has enough. I think that SEC fans are a little reluctant to change.
I would consider myself an SEC fan, like through and through. I would consider myself a true Southeastern Conference fan. I don't want them.
I don't want them. Stay in the Big 12. Do your thing in the Big 12. The SEC is fine. We're good.
So what do we make of the fact that the SEC is going to do something that its fans don't like? Now, the schools are going to make all this money. But, I mean, going back to how I think this is the death of college football, the death that we know, it'll still be out there. I mean, there's a bunch of reasons why you still have to have college football. I mean, this is to make money. Fans that grew up fans of their team will still like it. But I think the overall popularity of the sport, which I think has been sliding a little bit anyways, mm-hmm. I think it will, you know, really, really hit in the toilet, a la baseball, a la the NBA. I think a part of this that, like, I'm not sure we wanted conference realignment in the first place. Like, I think we liked the Big East the way the old Big East mm-hmm. was. I think we liked things kind of the way they were. And now I'm not old enough, P-Pop, to remember what it was like when Arkansas was in the Southwest Conference or the Big Eight or whatever it was called. But, I mean, seriously, like, I keep looking at this and I think to myself, man, like, I get why the teams want it. I get why the schools want it. But the fans don't. And shouldn't we do what the fans want to do?
And I just feel like there is so much identity and pride within your conference, especially the SEC. And I think that that just doesn't fit the pride that Texas has for itself. Because, of course, every school in the SEC has pride in itself. But I think that every SEC school has pride in being the Southeastern Conference. For example, if you root for any other team other than Alabama, when Alabama's in the national championship against a team in the ACC, in the Big Ten, who do you root for? You root for Alabama because you want a championship in the SEC.
I grew up an SEC fan. Yeah. I mean, I grew up a fan of Vanderbilt, but I was an SEC fan. You know, like if LSU played, what was it? Who did LSU play in 2007? Was it Ohio State in the national championship game? Like I was rooting for LSU. And then when Florida played, I was rooting for Florida. And then, I mean, I was always rooting for the SEC. And I used to always, I don't want to say get angry, but I used to take a little offense to those people that would be like, I think it's so stupid to chant your conference SEC, SEC. And I was totally an SEC.
Oh, yeah.
SEC.
I'm an SEC homer through and through.
I was totally that kind of person. So now, I mean, I guess I don't chant the conference anymore. Maybe I think in my heart I still kind of root for the league when it comes to whatever. But I'm not rooting for Oklahoma.
No.
Like I'm not rooting for
dead body will I root for the University of Texas. Absolutely not.
I'll root for A&M and Missouri, even though I don't really care about Missouri. I'll root for them, just like I root for Florida or Georgia or whomever. But I'm not rooting for Oklahoma. I am not rooting for Oklahoma. Ever.
No.
So, if we get a national basketball championship game of Indiana, which, you know, talk about tradition and going back in time. Mm-hmm. You need to get a time machine to see when Indiana was good at basketball. But Indiana and Oklahoma in the national championship game, which I believe those two teams met in the Final Four in 2002. But that's neither here nor there. Oklahoma, Indiana, the Kelvin Sampson National Championship game, I'm rooting for Indiana. If it's Iowa, Oklahoma, I'm rooting for Iowa. I'm rooting against Oklahoma. I'm never rooting for Oklahoma. Ever.
Nope.
One
texter checks in and says, Texas just wants to be in the SEC because they're cocky and they want to be the best, and the Big 12 hasn't been the best anymore.
I think there's something to that.
I agree. I think Texas wants to be. I think Texas knows that their contract with the Big 12 expires right around the time that ESPN acquires the SEC. So ESPN will dominate your TV on college football Saturday.
Their
games won't be relevant. They won't be in the relevant time slots.
I don't think there is any doubt that Texas looked at the SEC and saw the money and that. But this is a country club marriage is what it is. It is, I know your family's got money. I know my family's got money. We're going to be together and live our elegant, happy lifestyle for forever and ever. It's not true love, but it is essentially an arranged marriage of, I like what you got. You like what I got. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And I hate that. I vote true love. I'm a true love guy over here.
That's really sweet.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
But I agree. I'm with you. And I go back to the point of there is something very, and this is coming from an SEC homer. So, like, you know, if allow me to wipe my tears a little bit. I think there is something sacred about being in the SEC. It's the best conference in football. And Texas just doesn't fit that. Texas is so cocky.
How can you say that when Missouri's in the conference?
Well, okay, fair. I am from the state of Missouri, and nobody dislikes the University of Missouri more than I do. Missouri's just the worst.
Well, like, I guess my point is to say, like, Texas is so cocky, and I can't stand Texas and Texas and Texas. Like, I get it, but, like, Texas is a legitimate power player.
Yeah.
Like, Missouri's a nobody.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't like Missouri being in the SEC.
That I have a hard time.
I don't like Missouri being in the SEC.
So, by my count, we've got 8 schools in the Big 12. Are we all agreeing here that the Big 12's dead?
Yes.
That the Big 12 is the new Big East?
The Big 12 as we know it. I think that they will either absorb schools in the AAC, which there was a Big 12 athletic director that came out and thought and talked about that possibility and said there's no allure. Why would we eliminate two of our biggest players and bring in, to be honest, small guys? So that was a possibility, but I think that they will go elsewhere.
I mean, I have a thought on the AAC. Do you know, like, so the Big East became the AAC, mm-hmm. and the AAC stinks.
Yes.
And the teams that are in the AAC are the same teams. It's wild how this has gone, that all these schools left to go to bigger, they all left the Big East, the big schools left the Big East to go to different conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So then in order to try to stay alive, the Big East acquired essentially all of the Conference USA schools.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Conference USA acquired all of the Sun Belt schools. So now the Big 12 is going to die, and they're going to go acquire the same AAC schools that were acquired to save Conference USA that was acquired for the Metro.
It's essentially just going back in time.
Yeah, it's literally just what you're doing is redoing
what you undid.
What you're doing is you're doing what you've already done. You're watering down. You watered down the Big East, and now you're going to water down the Big 12. If you go and add Cincinnati and Memphis and all those schools UCF. That played in Conference USA and played in the old Metro. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, here's what we're going to do. 16-team conferences. We're going to add 2 to the Big 12. We're going to add 2 to the ACC. We're going to add 4 to the Pac-12. How will it look? And how close do you think we'll actually be to getting it right? That's next. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.